guys are so kind. Please be seated. All right. If you recall, we have been working through a series on financial freedom. At least when I'm preaching, we have been. The objective of the series has been to provide some tools and some encouragement to live in financial freedom, to live in financial peace. The objective of the series is to adjust our attitude to the world's "it's all about the money" attitude, to have a more heavenly perspective of finances, to have a healthy perspective of finances that does not get in the way of our relationship with our God. Today is the final installment of that series. Before I get into it, though, like Tim, I want to make a pitch for this Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University that's starting up in September. Yeah, if you're ready to go with the video, go ahead. It should be a short promotional video that's coming up on the screen behind me now.
Sure.
Thanks.
It's declined.
Has this ever happened to you?
70% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. We finally found a picture that pretty well outlines what the average American family's finances look like. People that look like this come into our office all the time. They're going, "Dude, can you get me out?"
Isn't it time for a change? Financial Peace University is a 13-week video program designed by Dave Ramsey. FPU teaches families and individuals to pay off debt, save for the future, and give like never before. In fact, the average family pays off over $5,300 in debt and saves $2,700 while completing the program. The result is changed lives, strong marriages, and families that are financially healthy. Graduates emerge equipped to triumphantly gain control of their finances. Normal is broke. Be weird.
Thank you.
Financial Peace University. Sign up today.
Katrina, who took this in the spring? We had this in the spring. Raise your hand if you took it. Okay, can you bear witness when I say this is practical, this is entertaining, this is effective? Right. So I really encourage you to attend starting on September, it's Wednesday, what is it, September 14th, I think. I can't encourage you strongly enough to do this. Get yourself some financial freedom. Live in financial peace. Move forward in the things in the kingdom. The other thing about this, too, is it doesn't become a barrier. The finances don't become a barrier anymore in relationship, your relationship with the Lord. So I totally and strongly encourage you to sign up for this class. Since there are blocks of time that pass when I preach, I like to take a moment to review what it is that I've covered very briefly in the past. And since this is a series, I want to kind of catch you up if you've missed or, heaven forbid, forgotten what I preached about in October of last year. So I started this, part one. I started the process of helping us review finances from a heavenly perspective, and it was also designed to offer hope that you can be financially free. There is hope. You can be financially free. It doesn't matter what your current financial situation is. You can. Part two and part three dealt with the hazards of debt and how to get out of debt. Part four addressed the area of savings and budgeting, and also dealt with issues of the heart regarding finances. Today, then, is our fifth and final part. I should mention, too, that all of these messages, in fact, all messages every week, are posted on the Prague website. So, you know, if you want to catch up, or if, heaven forbid, you forgot anything and you want to review, then you can do that on the Prague website. So today's the fifth and final installment. And today's message, I warned you it was coming. Back in October, I warned you we'd be talking about this. I told you at some point we would be getting to the topic of giving. Now, some of you may be thinking, message on tithing. I knew I should have stayed home this morning. Is there anything more stereotypical than a preacher talking about tithing? Bear with me. I want you to think of this not as a message in tithing. Instead, I want you to think of this as being a message on being a generous giver. And remember that it's, with me, it's always within a certain context. It's within a certain context. And the context is living in financial freedom. Because you see, we will never live in financial freedom unless we learn to be a generous giver. Oh, that's just preposterous. If you're giving your money away, then how do you have the money to pay for debts and bills and stuff? How can you say something like that? How many of you know that God's ways are not our ways? That God's accounting system is not our accounting system? God does stuff that confounds the wise. God is the master of doing the exact opposite of what the world thinks is sensible. Job 37:5 says this, God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. He is the guy who sent his army to take the city of Jericho by marching around it multiple times, not by attacking it. He is the God who sent the King of Kings to earth and starts by putting him in a manger. He is the God who says whoever loses his life will preserve it. And he is the God that says that whoever gives generously will be blessed with even more increase. The God we serve is the master of the paradox. Now, as I go through this message this morning, there's going to be one thing that I want you to remember, and it's this. Are you ready? Generosity breeds prosperity. Generosity breeds prosperity. You're going to hear me say that a lot today. So much so you're like, oh God, if he says that one more time, I'm going to joke him. But when you leave here, I want to have had it stuck that generosity breeds prosperity. Okay, so when I ask a question, that's going to likely be the correct answer. Okay? All right, so let's practice. I want you to be generous. Do you know why?
Generosity breeds prosperity.
Hallelujah. First time, too. The gathering folks took it two times to go through that. But I think some of them are still waking up, I understand. Yeah, generosity breeds prosperity. Okay, so let's start this morning by examining some reasons to give. Now, what might be one reason to give? There we go, yeah. Because it's only 10 seconds ago. All right, yeah, because generosity breeds prosperity. One of God's great paradoxes is that to receive, you have to give. Let's take a look at this in Scripture. If you have your Bibles, you can open to 2 Corinthians 9. And in 2 Corinthians 9, we're going to start in verse 6. Now, I hesitate to read this passage because it has within it one of the most overused phrases when dealing with this topic. It's only 6 words long, but overused or not, it's still God's Word, and so we're going to go through it. But I'm more interested in looking at the whole passage in the proper context, because the whole passage in the proper context is so rich. So 2 Corinthians 9:6 says this: "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." Okay, so let me stop right there. The Mike Wagner Simplified Version translation is this: "Stinginess breeds poverty, but generosity breeds prosperity." Excellent. Okay, so picking it up in verse 7, "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Okay, so remember the phrase that has those 6 overused words. But let's look at the phrase before that: "not reluctantly or under compulsion." In other words, don't let guilt be your guide in deciding what to give. If you're giving reluctantly or out of compulsion, then you're probably being manipulated into giving. Don't enable dysfunctional fundraising techniques by giving beyond what you feel led to give. Okay? Some of you are probably thinking, I didn't expect him to say that. On the other hand, however, don't force God to withhold his blessings by being disobedient to what he wants you to give. Okay, this leads us to our next verse, in verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Okay, so that verse is specifically within the context of being a generous giver. "Make all grace abound to you, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Okay? Then in verse 9, "As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." This quote is right out of Psalm 112. The psalm itself is about a man who fears the Lord and who does great things, who gets great delight from the Lord's commands. It is a righteous man who scatters abroad his gifts to the poor. Okay? Verse 10. "Now he," and we'll go into 11 as well, "now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." See, verse 10 and verse 11 reaffirm what we've been saying, that generosity breeds prosperity. But more than that, let's take a look in verse 11. It says, "You will be made rich in every way," "so that you can be generous in every occasion." You see, generosity breeds prosperity, not just financially, but in every way: spiritually, emotionally, every way. Well, to what end, you may say? Well, it says in verse 11, "so that you can contribute to be generous, not just financially, but you can be generous spiritually, emotionally as well." Okay, so the first reason to give is because... Oh, you guys are awesome. Yeah, in all areas of our life. Okay? Okay, next reason. The second reason to give is because giving helps remind us of ownership. Giving helps remind us of ownership. You have heard me say with great frequency that it all belongs to God. Psalm 24:1 says this, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." And then 1 Chronicles 29, starting in verse 11. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in earth, everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hand are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all." God owns it all. All wealth and honor comes from Him. So everything that you have, your house, your car, your money, your children, your pets, your china cabinet, it all belongs to Him. Okay? It's owned by God and it's entrusted to you as a steward. I recognize this isn't an easy thing to swallow. Culturally, it is not a very American thing to say, you know, the independent spirit, it's mine, I own it, yep, all that land out there, yeah, I own it. Well, no, it all belongs to God. If you have a problem with that, well, take it up with God. I'm just delivering the message. I didn't say it, He said it. We are stewards who are charged with overseeing that which He has entrusted to us. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25 makes this clear. I've gone over that parable a couple times. I'm not going to go over it again. But just as a review, remember that it was the master that entrusted the servant with some talents with the expectation that they would grow that investment that was entrusted to them. Okay, not just bury it or squander it. This parable is a reminder to us that we likewise are stewards of what God has blessed us with, both the tangible as well as the intangible. The practice of giving, then, is a reminder of that truth. Giving generously, we remind ourselves that it all belongs to God, and we're just stewards of that fund, of those funds. Every check we write, every card we swipe, every $20 bill we lay on the counter at the store. This giving helps us maintain the mindset and hold on to that truth that it does all belong to God. The next reason to give. Generous giving reveals the condition of the heart. Okay? Generous giving reveals the condition of the heart. It shows you if you have an idol that is other than God. Now, I want to offer you two verses that I have called to your attention in the past. We'll just touch on them quickly. Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, then there your heart will be also." So if you're in a position where when you give, you do so reluctantly and minimally, then you're in this kind of spiritual position. Okay, imagine a wad of cash in my hand. No, I don't want to give. I don't want to give. No, I don't want to give. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay? The next verse, Matthew 6:24. "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, how many of you know that money can be an idol if we let it? And you know, God's not big on having idols other than Him. In fact, it is the very first of the Ten Commandments, the very first that's addressed by God. It's in Exodus 20, starting in verse 2. It says this, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You know, you don't have to have a statue set up someplace to worship it for that to be your idol. Idols can be all kinds of things, including the love of money. And notice from the scripture that having an idol is a curse that affects the third and fourth generations. Giving reveals the condition of our heart. It shows that we are not bound by the material things of the world. When we give, we acknowledge God as our only master, and we demonstrate our willingness to surrender any potential idols to God. Generous giving, then, is a tangible expression that God and nothing else is our master. Okay, the final reason to give is to become more like Christ. Become more like Christ. For those of us who call ourselves Christians, we are disciples of Christ. And if we are disciples of Christ, we have made a commitment to learn His ways, to become more like Christ. Everybody follow with my logic? My logic all sound to everyone so far? Is it agreeable? If we want to be like Christ, then we would want to also then learn how to give like Christ. How generous was Christ? What did Christ give? What did He give? Yeah, only everything aside. I mean, He gave everything. Christ could have been very, very wealthy if He wanted. You agree with that? Yeah, I think so. But He gave up everything. Because of His ministry, He sacrificed material things. At the Garden of Gethsemane, He sacrificed emotionally. At the cross, He sacrificed spiritually and physically. He gave it all. The very character of God is to be generous. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. God gives generously. If we have purposed in our heart that we want to be like Him, then we likewise need to be generous givers. All right. It's time to get practical with respect to giving. What are some practical ways to give? I want to start with a story that exemplifies practical giving. My sister and her friends used to have this tradition. Every year, every Christmas Eve, they would go out to a restaurant. And out at this restaurant, they would usually just have something small, like a cup of coffee or something. Then when they were done, they would pay the bill and they would slip out quietly, but only after leaving a $100 tip. It was their way to bless someone who was struggling, maybe someone who had to work on Christmas Eve. And they would never go to the same restaurant twice. One year, They go and they do the ritual. You know, they slip this waitress a $100 tip. Fast forward a year. They go into a different restaurant. And who waits on them but the exact same woman that they had blessed the year before? The woman sees them coming, you know, and she's like, because she remembered them. You know, I guess you remember people who leave you a $100 tip when you order a cup of coffee. She remembered she was, ecstatic to catch up with her benefactors from the year before, and probably even more ecstatic at the prospect of getting another $100 tip. which she promptly received, another $100 tip. You see, this to me is a great example of practical and generous giving. Have you ever seen that movie, Pay It Forward? 2000 was the year it was released. Kevin Spacey, Helen Hunt, Haley Joel Osment. If you've never seen it, this is your homework assignment for the week. It's one of them. There's another homework assignment coming, but your homework assignment is to go and rent this movie and see it. Be warned that it's rated PG-13. But the movie is about a boy who comes up with this movement to bless other people. The only stipulation is that they in turn have to go and bless three other people. So he blesses three, they bless three, and so on, so on, so on. So it gets, you know, exponential pretty quick. I have a clip from the movie. Is it ready to go? Okay. Oh, we need sound.
Okay. Really big. Something they can't do by themselves. So I do it for them. And they do it for three other people. That's nine. And I do three more.
That's 27, so I'm not really good at math, but it gets big really fast, you know? Articulation, please.
Yes.
I think it's a good idea.
Sean?
It's stupid.
Adam?
It's the honor system.
People blow off the honor system.
So what?
Just because you do.
Well, Trevor, the class seems to think that you've come up with an overly utopian idea. Look that word up in a minute.
Like, the perfect world?
Mm-hmm.
So?
So,
all right, so that's the idea behind that pay it forward. The movie goes on to detail what happens when he starts paying it forward and others respond to that and they do the same. This was not a Christian movie. But who better to implement a pay it forward movement than Christians? Christians who are generous givers because their God is a generous giver. This should be us that's starting this. A DC Christian radio station, WGTS, they even used to have this thing called Pay It Forward Mondays. I don't know, they still might. In which you would do something and just bless somebody, a perfect stranger. Like one example is, seemed like they hit on this a lot, was like, you're going to work, you're pulling into McDonald's drive-thru for breakfast or something, and you just pay for the person behind you. And off you go. And then people would call in and they would laugh, you know, just how fun it was to bless people, to be a blessing to someone. Now, at the end of this message, I'm going to pick this up again, this idea of the practical aspect of giving, but for right now, I want to move on. All right, so, two questions that you knew had to come up at some point during this discussion. First question is, how much do I give? And the second question is, who do I give it to? These can be, responses to these questions can be emotionally charged. And so, let's address each one as dispassionately as possible, and let's first go in and consult Scripture. I think we're safe if we do that, what it says about this. For the first question, how much should I give? I have to read a passage in Scripture that I'm a little reluctant to read because it contains another one of those overused phrases whenever this topic is discussed. Okay, now this phrase has seven words, but it has been used to create an awful lot of neurotic guilt. Instead, I want to look at the verse in keeping with my mantra this morning. Generosity breeds prosperity. The passage is in Malachi 3. It starts in verse 8, goes through verse 10, and it says this: Will a man rob God? yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Okay? Forgetting the seven-word phrase, you know, bring the whole tithe in the storehouse. Okay, forgetting that passage, that little phrase for a second. The passage is a target-rich environment. There's so much good stuff in here. First, the way God sees it is that if you are not giving generously, which is defined here as 10% of your income, and then anything else over and above that you can afford, right? That's the tithes and offerings part, okay? And then you're robbing God. Some of you are thinking, bummer. But it says, if you're not doing this, then you're under a curse. Remember that stinginess breeds poverty. Okay? So you're keeping yourself under a curse. Second, the Lord challenges us on this. And this part, just I delight in this. He says, test me in this. The Lord says, try me. See if I won't bless you. It's almost like he's daring us. Go ahead, be a generous giver. See what happens. The floodgates of heaven are going to open. I think that just cracks me up. Because you see, in God's accounting system, generosity breeds prosperity. Now, some of you may be thinking, I can't give 10% of my income. I just don't have the money to do that. I have bills to pay. You know, this is back to school month. I have to get kids in clothes and shoes, and we have to get paper and glue and all that other stuff, Kleenex, everything else that they want us. I can't afford to do that. I understand. Believe me, I understand. I totally get it. So let's try to approach this practically. If you can't, expect to immediately give 10% of your income if you haven't been doing it. Okay, you have to budget. We talked about budgeting last time. But you have to plan for it. It has to be budgeted. So let me offer you this suggestion. Start by deciding that you're going to be a generous giver, that you're going to generously give 10% of your gross income. And you do this for all the reasons that we previously discussed, including generosity. And we're talking about... Never mind. I know, it's tough. But we got to remember God's accounting system. Okay, so purpose in your heart that, yep, I'm going to be a generous giver. And then figure out how much you're currently giving as a percentage of your income. Okay? Figure out how much you're giving right now. And maybe let's say it's only 2% of your income right now. Okay? It's 2%. That's okay. Don't be discouraged. Your goal is to be a generous giver. And like anything else in the Christian walk, it is a journey. It's not a destination. Once you get to the 10% of income, believe me, you've still got a long way to go to be a generous giver. Because it's a heart attitude. I know this. I speak from experience. That I'm still working on the process of being a generous giver. Okay. So remember that it's a journey. So, trying to go and give then 8% of your income next month is probably going to take too big of a bite of your budget. It probably just won't be able to make it work. Instead, make a commitment that say, I don't know, pick a number. Say, in the next 3 months, I'm going to give 1% more of my income of what I've been given now. Then say, in another 3 months, or whatever number you pick, I'm going to give another percent. And so on, until you get to the place where you're at the scripturally based 10%. Okay? Now, I recognize that sometimes spouses may not be on the same page regarding this issue. Some may want to tithe, and the other is resistant. Let me address first the resistant one. If you are the resistant one, I'll tell you this. The Lord God will not be mocked. Stinginess breeds poverty. You are inviting a curse upon yourself and upon your family. Okay? Holding on to money tightly is like holding on to mud. The tighter you hold on to it, the more it squishes through your fingers. Okay? And by the way, this is especially true of believers who are supposed to know better. Okay? And now that you've heard this message, now you do know better. Now, if you're the spouse who wants to give, but who is restrained, I'll tell you this. Be at peace. This is not your battle. Pray for your spouse and repent of any unforgiveness that you might have. But this is not your battle. This belongs to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Leave it in His hands. Let Him deal with it. So the next question then is, who do I give it to? The Levites were the priestly tribe in Israel. They performed the religious duties for the Israelites. In Numbers 18:21, God made it clear, I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work they do while serving at the tent of meeting. But this principle was not limited to the Old Testament. This issue is addressed in Galatians 6:6. It says this, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. And in 1 Timothy 5:17, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. So there is a principle here, both in the Old Testament and in the New, that tithes should go to the house where you seek to have your spiritual needs met. Okay? Now, if you don't want to give to the church that you attend, or if you feel that the money would be better spent elsewhere, consider the possibility that you're attending the wrong church. But be honest with yourself. Is there any church that you'd be willing to tithe to? Or is this really just about the condition of your heart? Okay. So wrap up, I want to wrap up with another story. Katrina and I have supported an organization for years. It's called Mercy Ministries. It's based in Nashville, Tennessee. Has anybody heard of this? No? A couple? Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's based in Nashville, Tennessee. Their mission, pulling it off the website, says this, to provide opportunities for young women to experience God's unconditional love, forgiveness, and life-transforming power. They take in girls who have been victims of unspeakable abuse. And they have all sorts of problems as a result of this abuse, such as cutting and eating disorders, and I mean, you just about name it. They have all kinds of problems as a result. They currently have four homes in the United States, and they want to open three more. But of those seven, none of them are in this region. None of them are in the Northeast region. I think the closest one is in like Charlotte, and that's not even open yet. So Katrina and I recently attended a fundraising event in Annapolis that's designed to start making inroads into this region of the country. Now, for years we've received thank you notes from them, and they often included testimonies of girls who had graduated from the program, and they just, you know, wanted to kind of testify on just how effective Mercy Ministries was, and what a blessing it was, and like that. And it was nice to get those letters, of course. But at this brunch, we actually got to see hear from four women who talked about their experiences, both before Mercy Ministries, during Mercy Ministries, and after Mercy Ministries. And all four were awesome. But there was one who was particularly poignant. Her name was Jordan. And she grew up in an incredibly abusive home. It was very controlling, dominating, really held her in bondage. She wasn't allowed to go to school after the first grade. Other than that, she was pretty much locked up at home. Eventually, her plight was made known to the authorities, but even then, she got kicked around from foster home to foster home. So here's this woman, severely abused, never loved, and hardly educated. And she knew that her life was over unless she could find some help. She found out about Mercy Ministries, and she ended up going there. And it was there that she found God's unconditional love and God's transforming power. And it was there, there's a woman who, a young woman, I think she was 16 at the time, 17, who had a first grade education, who ended up, while she was there at Mercy Ministries, she got her GED. From there, she went on to college. And she struggled with, you know, to learn some basic stuff that, you know, was already previously, should have been previously taught. And I think the example that she used was something with fractions, like multiplying fractions or something like that, right, that we take pretty much for granted after, like, the sixth grade. This woman, who's now 22, she went on to graduate summa cum laude, a Fulbright scholar. She got majors in both microbiology and German. She now plans to continue her education and work in a medical research facility in Germany that is working on, I'm not sure I got this right, but working on the eradication of some central nervous disease. This is an awesome story of God's redemptive power. And you know what? Katrina and I had something to do with that. Now, I'm not saying that in order to boast. I'm saying it to bear witness that the seeds that were sowed, that we sowed into that ministry, bore fruit. Our giving was a blessing for us. To sit there and listen to these four women, and this one in particular, was, wow, what a blessing. That I just couldn't get from the thank you letters that we got. And so I thank God for the blessing of hearing that young woman's testimony. Stinginess breeds poverty. It results in curses. But generosity breeds prosperity. Thank you. Yes, it breeds prosperity. It results in blessings. Okay. I did say that right, didn't I? The whole time I was preparing this, I was getting so worried. I'm going to mix up poverty with prosperity. I know it. All right. So here's your assignment for the week, aside from, you know, seeing that pay it forward if you can. By the way, I told the gathering service that because they were the first service, they already had a head start going to the Blockbuster or wherever. But I also told them, yeah, go invite somebody over since they're all going to get checked out this week. Invite somebody over to enjoy it with it because it is a fun movie. But this week, aside from that assignment, I want you to do something to generously bless someone, to really be a blessing to someone. Not necessarily a pay it forward type of movement, but if you have the means, then by all means, go ahead. But even if it's a little thing, like the drive-through example, or leaving an unusually large tip to somebody who wouldn't expect it or something. And it doesn't have, by the way, it doesn't have to be money either. Relieve a busy mom who has even busier kids. Cut the neighbor's lawn who's away on vacation. The point is to bless someone because you, as a child of the living God, are a generous giver. Okay? And then we're going to have testimonies about it because I want to hear your stories. We can come and start bearing witness to the generosity of God and how you end up getting blessed. Even if, you know, you're not getting monetary blessings, spiritually, emotionally, you get blessings, some blessing from blessing somebody, then I want to hear testimonies about that so that we might be an encouragement, so that you might be an encouragement to the entire house. Amen? Okay, we got a testimony already. Hot diggity.
I got a big yard and a big mouth. So I've got a riding lawnmower, and I had bought one, 18 years ago. And after about 12 years or so, I was getting tired of this old thing. It was making noises, it was rattling, it just was annoying. And I was looking forward to replacing it with a John Deere lawn tractor. I wanted a John Deere, man. And so I was really looking forward to it. It was about, as I say, 12, 14 years old, and I was already making plans. Okay, next year I'm going to take my, it was like $1,500 to get a new lawn tractor. And so I got this thing from Teen Challenge. They got a farm over in Fredericksburg, and they just got this brand new farm, and they sent me a letter. I'm one of the supporters, and they sent me a letter of all the things they needed, and they needed a lawn tractor. So I had this great idea. I said, I know, I'll donate my old lawn tractor. It still has several years of life in it. I'll give it to them, and I'll go buy myself a new tractor. That's a great idea, Frank. I'll be generous. I'm giving them, okay, it's a little old, but it's still a lawn tractor. And so I had this idea, and I heard this little voice in my head says, why don't you buy them a new lawn tractor? And I'm like, why would I want to do that? Then I'd have to buy two lawn tractors. That can't be God. That's Satan, for sure. That's Satan. So I just ignored that because that didn't make money sense. You know, that's $3,000 instead of $1,500. And so I was still thinking about it. And a couple of days later, I mentioned to Molly the newsletter. I said, Molly, I've been thinking of making this donation to Teen Challenge, giving them my old tractor so I can get that new tractor I've been wanting. And Molly says, why don't you buy them a new tractor? And I'm going, no, this can't be God. So I was convicted, cut to the quick, by my precious helpmeet, who is not the stingy one in our family. I'm usually the one always counting the cost and always trying to figure out what to do. So I'm like, okay, this has to be God. So I said, okay, got to do this. And I shared it with a couple of my friends over lunch, and one of them said, that's a great story. I want to help too. And so we pooled our money and called them up and said, we want to bless you with a new lawn tractor. So we went ahead and did that. And so I just say, well, I already wrote the check this year. I'm not buying myself a new tractor this year, so we'll just put this off in the future. Then several months later, my good old friend Danny Hartwell came and says, hey, Tim, you wouldn't believe this incredible deal I got on a John Deere tractor. I was down at the John Deere dealer in Ridge, and they have these used tractors where people trade them in for something better, and I got this fabulous deal on a used tractor. And I was like, hey, that's a great idea. I'll check that out. So the next year, come like March or April, I went ahead and contacted the John Deere dealer and says, would you by any chance have any used tractors that had just been turned in? And he said, well, let me check the inventory. And he says, yeah, as a matter of fact, we do. I got this $3,000 tractor. I'll sell it to you for $1,200. It's 3 years old. And he said, it's a commercial. It's got the hydrostatics, so you just hit the gas, none of this reversing stuff. Man, it's got flashers and headlights. $1,200. And so I bought it. God bless me abundantly.
So that's the type of generous giving that we're talking about, and the testimony of it. And probably all of us, I know I can bear witness to what Tim's talking about. Another new track. That can't be of God, no. Of course, until the bride comes through, right? Do you have something? Oh, come on up here then.
My boyfriend and I went to a friend's place who has grapes and pears in need of picking. So we went and picked as much as we could, we had time for, and was able to drop it off at a friend's place who loves to can. So a little thing. But we had fun, and she had fun taking care of them.
All right. It can be a little thing. Just an opportunity to bless someone. So that's your homework this week. Please stand. Thank you, Cindy. I'm going to pray. Then we'll open the altar up if you want to. If you want to deal with something, you know, the condition of your heart or something regarding this, or frankly, any other issue as well. But if this is something that speaks to you, you want to pray with somebody, then we'll be available. Otherwise, after praying, then you're dismissed. But let's ask the Lord. Father, we just come before you. First, we thank you for the way you have blessed us. And second, Father, we ask that we would learn to be like you. That we would learn to be a generous giver. That we would open up our hearts. That we would welcome in that grace, that gift of giving. That we would be a blessing, Father. That we would bear witness to who you are. So, Father, we do ask for that grace. Help us with that. Help us with our generous. Help us to be a generous giver. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed to go that way or this way. Yes, Maria. Huh? I didn't get any word on Brielle. But if you come on up here, we'll take care of it before you go. There's something about your daughter Brielle that I don't know about.
I didn't see her. I forgot all about it.
Okay, you want to do it or
not? Brielle Weber went on a mission trip last month and had a tremendous experience. Many of you helped her and were supporting her. She is going to be showing her slides and thanking you down in the sunroom after the service. So if you want to
go check
that out. She'll thank you.
Okay.